podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. A lovely scene at Lord's tonight. The ground bathed in sunlight. It's the best weather of the last couple of days for sure. And of course, the players have gone off after an extended day's play, which saw 11 wickets fall, 258 to England. A fairly disappointing performance, I'd say, overall. They got one wicket back, the wicket of David Warner, and Australia finishing 30 for one. The red of the advertising hoarding still showing the advice to text Ruth 10 to 70507 to donate £10. So that's the Ruth Strauss Foundation, which has been very much the focus of the day. You've got your red T-shirt. You found a red T-shirt then.
I did.
It's not the greatest, actually, is
it?
Looks like you've got it out of a tombola, out of one of those tiny little things that you get out of a tombola, or even a cracker, actually. It's very thin.
Because of the rain yesterday, I went home relatively early, looked in my drawer, no red shirt. I thought I'd better go to the shop, so I actually bought it.
Did you?
Just before the
shop. They saw you coming,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Well, I didn't pay a huge amount of money for it.
I would have thought they should have paid you to take that away, but... Anyway, so still, it's in keeping.
I made an effort.
What do you think?
Not too bad, yes.
Not too bad? That's the most polite thing people have said today.
Well, I think it's the sort of thing people used to wear in the 1970s, that. I remember having a shirt like that in 1974.
Alex Stewart said, "What did you do? Go to your wardrobe and pick your worst shirt and put it on." Well, it was a bit like that, actually. It's the only one with any red in it. But it's nice to be able to wear something which you bought in a moment of madness about 10 years ago and get another wear out of it. We've got a man behind us painting the World Cup final canvas. It's a massive canvas behind us. Sasha is finishing off this and fantastic looking, very modern impression of the World Cup final. Sasha, you know about colours. What do you think of my shirt? What do you think? All right?
I actually think people are being unnecessarily rude.
Okay, thanks.
I like it, mate.
He likes it. Okay, and his painting...
It's important to be unnecessarily rude to Simon Hughes.
Yes, thanks. It's a rite of passage, I suppose. It is an impressive piece of work, I have to say, behind us, which is coming to its conclusion and will be available, I think, to be able to buy, actually, at some point, with all the players in the final signature on it to commemorate that amazing World Cup triumph. We're at the same ground, of course. Whether England can win this match, though, I'm not sure. I just thought the batting, again, looked pretty scratchy.
Yeah, insipid, wasn't it? Some soft dismissals. Australia bowled well.
And yeah, they did, yeah.
They've got a good bowling attack, and it was always going to be challenging with Hazelwood coming back into the sides. You know, really solid bowler, and you know, just waiting for his chance. Got early wickets, Roy out in his first over. He got Root as well, you know, always a key wicket. And he also got rid of Joe Denley as well for 30. So, I mean, 258 could have been much worse for England. I mean, we talked yesterday about, you know, there's still time in this match to have a result. One day knocked out, still time enough to have a result. And I think today showed that. With 11 wickets, the game has advanced. It almost went, you know, really Australia's way. If they bowled England out for 160, 170, then it's time to get a lead and really make it into a three-innings game. They could still do that. The weather forecast for the third day is not very good. So we anticipate that we might only get one session of play on the third day. Even so, Australia still have a winning chance, I think. Here's the scenario. They get to lunch on the third day, say...
140 for 2.
Well, say they get there, 120 for 3 at lunch, say. So they've still got the Saturday play, when we anticipate the weather's going to be good, to get close to England's score or past it. So they get a lead of 50, 70, something like that. Then the pressure's right on England in their...
Second innings, in
the third innings of the match, on the final day. In a way, it'd be hard for England to win. The only way I can see England winning from here is if they rolled Australia out for 150, something like that, or you know, under 200, and then we're able to build a lead. But you know, are they going to have time to build a big enough lead, or are they going to have to get bowled out? And is that, you know, it's hard to see England winning from here. Australia, I think, still have a winning chance. With the weather forecast, you probably still just favour the draw. But anything can happen. Things happen very quickly on this ground.
Yeah, that's true. of the England performances, obviously Jason Roy, disappointing. I thought he played at a ball he should have left from the nursery end. It was a good delivery, but it was 6, 7, 8 inches wide. Which
ball before got him out, though, in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, it was...
Well, yeah, that can happen, but I think you have to set your stall if you're batting at the pavilion and facing the bowling from the nursery end. If anybody's swinging it away, you think to yourself, right, anything just on off stump or just outside, you can, especially short of a length, you can leave alone. He was sort of poking at that a little bit indeterminately. I thought generally Rory Burns handled things well. I just never have any confidence that Joe Denley is going to carry on. He sort of looks nice for a 20 or 30, but then he just plays at either a good ball or plays a loose shot and gets out. I just don't feel he has any permanence. Joss Butler doesn't look right at the moment to me. He looks tentative. Ben Stokes got out trying to be aggressive, but just picked the wrong ball. Johnny Bairstow, much better. You know, obviously the score tells you that. He got 52, which is his best score, equal his best score since he got 110 in Sri Lanka when he was pitched up to open. So that's his best score for about 8 months.
Open
for England.
Number three.
Was it number three? Maybe it was number three. But he certainly forced up the order, wasn't he? And then his batting today looked tighter, I thought. He, you know, more selective. The defence was good. You know, he played some firm shots, but he wasn't reckless or anything. And well, it was a shame he got out in the end trying to lob line into the stand. But I suppose he had to do something with the number 11 there because England were going nowhere.
Yeah, sort of. I don't know about that. I thought that he perhaps could have just bided his time a little bit longer. I mean, they got Leach at the other end, who made 92 in the last match, albeit against Ireland, who's looking solid enough. You know, he had some support there. I wonder whether he could just, you know, bide his time a bit longer. They might have been able to put together, you know, 20 or 30 for that last wicket and just sort of keep Australia out there as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps England wanted an hour at them. You know, they play a few shots, see what happens, and then you get a chance to bowl, you know, for an hour at Australia, and they picked up the wicket of Warner. But yeah, Best, you're right, Best, they played really well. He looked in control, didn't he? And he let the ball come to him, hit the ball crisply.
Yeah,
it's the best I've seen him play in red ball for a while.
I have to hand it though to, for me, the player of the day was Pat Cummins. 21 overs, 8 maidens, 3 for 61, and he was charging in from the pavilion end, even towards the end of the day at sort of 5:45, bowling short, bowling aggressively, bowling at about 88, 89 miles an hour, just bowling that insistent sort of horrible length into your armpits. And he kind of finished the innings off effectively when England had a bit of a resurgence with that partnership between Bairstow and the redoubtable Chris Wokes, who again got into the 30s for the third time in succession and just plays nice, sensible, simple cricket. But he got flustered and really kind of found out a little bit, worked over by Cummins, who hit him on the head with a ball that didn't bounce and then whistled another couple past his ear holes, and he was ducking and weaving, and then he was a little bit unluckily caught down the leg side. And then he gave Jofra Archer a bit of a going over as well. Archer sort of handled it initially quite well, but in the end he got one into the armpits, which he managed to sort of skew into the offside. So Cummins there, just sort of making his presence felt, his impact on the series, I think, sort of growing almost by the over. He's just someone you just don't want to face. He just keeps coming in.
Well, that's the point. He keeps coming in. He bowled a spell of 7 consecutive overs after lunch, and then in the later spell was 6 overs, and then, of course, the innings came to an end. So, you know, 7 over spell, 6 over spell. You say, oh, you know, what's 7 overs? But for a fast bowler giving everything, not in the first session, it's quite a lot.
And actually, you know, bowling those short balls as well, it does take a lot out of you, and he kept on at it. And they were those, not bouncers, but sort of into your ribs, into your armpit, batsman trying to duck out of the way, trying to fend it off, not quite sure how to deal with it, the ball coming off at slightly different heights. So it was a very, very good, overall, a very good bowling performance by Australia. Siddle nagging away outside off stump, Hazelwood making the ball swing a little bit away, Cummins at you all the time, and then, of course, Nathan Lyon as well, so who was found some turns. So it re-emphasised for me that is a very good Australian bowling attack.
Cummins, 10 wickets in the series already. Do you think they should have played Stark instead of Siddle?
No. I think Lords, with its slope, rewards people who bowl consistent line and length with a little bit of seam either way. And all right, Siddle didn't take a stack of wickets, but he held an end up really well, kept asking questions. No one had a real sort of aggressive answer to him. He's not an easy bowler to dominate. He gives you control, and that's what, you know, most test captains want.
It's very early days in the series, but I've noticed one small thing. England's highest run scorer and their leading wicket taker so far. Neither played in the World Cup.
Yes.
Burns and Broad. I don't know whether that's just one of those things, or whether you know whether they are just a bit fresher. Look at someone like Josh Butler, 5-1-12 so far.
No, I think undoubtedly so. And if you go back to a podcast we did about a month ago after the World Cup win, when we interviewed Matt Dawson about the legacy of winning the Rugby World Cup, and he said one of the key things for him that they didn't do as a team, as a rugby team, was give the players more rest than they thought they needed. You think you need, after an intensive campaign like the World Cup, you think you need 2-3 weeks off. You don't. You need a lot more. You need 4 or 5 weeks off. But there's no prospect of them getting that.
No.
And you know, these guys are weary. I mean, Liam Plunkett said to me the other day, when he came into the Surrey team six, seven days after the World Cup final, he was in a complete daze, and he was still falling asleep in the afternoon. It takes a huge amount out of you, that kind of commitment to that sort of campaign with that sort of intensity, that kind of expectation, the amount of travelling and practising and playing they had to do under the enormous responsibility of delivering England their first ever World Cup win. So I think these players are still suffering, and you're right. You know, it's going to leave a bit of a sort of stain on their performance.
Possibly even David Warner as well. I mean, he was very successful in the World Cup. He's got a lot of runs for Australia in the World Cup. So far in the Ashes, 2, 8 and 3. And Broad has dismissed him 3 times.
No, it's a very valid point. The other star of the World Cup, of course, who came to the action towards the end of the day today, Jofra Archer making his Test match debut, much anticipated. Is it the most anticipated Test match debut since Graham Hick, do you think?
Well, I don't know, or possibly Kevin Peterson.
Or Peterson, yeah.
Something like that. Archer, actually, he might have had a wicket, but England didn't appeal. There was a little nick off that was detected by...
Snicko.
Snicko.
Yeah.
And England,
Ultra Edge.
Ultra Edge. England didn't appeal, and no one spotted it, but apparently there was something on there.
Was that to Cameron Bancroft?
No, it was to David Warner. So Warner was out soon afterwards, and Broad got the wicket.
So he could have had a wicket. In fact, he bowled probably the ball of the game so far. That second delivery to Bancroft in his first over from the nursery end sort of scissored back from outside off and did so much of it. It did a sort of a jackknife and went out of reach of Bairstow's left hand in the end. It just missed the off stump and ended up down at fine leg for 4 byes. Amazing delivery. And I think, although he didn't take a wicket, Archer, he got the speed gun up to 92. I felt he inspired Broad to just have a bit more zest at the other end, and he got the wicket of Warner. And I think his seam position, Archer's seam position, his lovely wrist action, making the ball zip around, is definitely going to produce results for England in due course.
Is it going to produce results tomorrow? Well, that's the key. I mean, they need those wickets now, don't they? One aspect of tomorrow morning's play, on the third morning of this match, is that because we anticipate some weather coming in, it's going to be overcast in the mornings. So you feel that those couple of hours, if we do get 2 hours play or 2-3 hours under overcast skies, England clearly need to make the very most of it. I mean, they had a good hour, Australia, tonight. There were favourable conditions. It was a bit overcast. The sun's come out now, but the lights were on. Do you think they made absolutely the most of it, just took the one wicket?
No, I mean, I don't think... In fact, I don't think Archer made the right-hander play quite enough, but it's a bit much to be too critical on his first ever test bowling performance. I mean, I think Broad was pretty good, and Khawaja handled it pretty well, Bancroft. I mean, there wasn't a huge amount in the pitch. I think the Australians exploited it and held England's batting very effectively. England have got to do the same to Australia tomorrow.
Yeah, and also there's also that tendency as well to strive for wickets, isn't there? Well, you know, when you come out, you've got, you know, an hour's play or 55 minutes play. You're striving for wickets.
So
you want, perhaps sometimes, that's a fast bowler.
And actually, I think Root possibly over-attacked slightly. I mean, he had a field to Archer from the pavilion end when he came on at the end. Three slips, 2 short legs, hardly anybody in front of the wicket. I thought that maybe that was just a bit expecting a bit too much. But Archer certainly didn't disappoint in terms of accuracy, in terms of asking questions. He just needs to get into it a little bit more, and I think he'll be extremely dangerous as a test bowler. What does the match hold tomorrow? Well, as you say, I mean, the weather is the sort of deciding factor, really.
Yeah, well, yeah. If we get a short day's play, then England need to make the most of it.
Yeah. It's always harder for batsmen, I think, in short, truncated days, because they've got to go on and off the field if there's a shower or something and start again. So that should be to England's advantage. They can get a lead. They've got to hit Australia hard whenever they get the chance tomorrow. And, of course, they've got to get Steve Smith early.
Yeah.
And we're going to be watching Phil Tufnell. I've seen Phil Tufnell today and his promise to run naked down St Joswood High Street if England gets Smith out for naught. We've got the cameras all ready.
Yeah, toughest. I mean, he's been mentioned on air a few times. I mean, I don't think he'll back out. He won't.
The only thing is, I'm not sure he's able to actually run down St Joswood. He might kind of hobble or lurch down St Joswood High Street, which means he's got a much greater chance of being arrested. Actually,
yeah, it's a big if, mind you. They've got to get it's only in this match they get him out for naught.
Okay.
In this match,
yeah, yeah.
It's not in the rest of his career. It's if they get him out for naught in this match. Anyway, that's the challenge for England tomorrow to try to. Well, if we only get one session to play tomorrow, England's goal would be something like Australia lunch 120 for five. Australia would be looking at 120 for two or three maximum, aren't they? That sort of thing, I think, we'll see where we are.
Well, thank goodness it was a clear day, a sunny day today to commemorate Ruth Strauss and launch the foundation officially and create more awareness for this fantastic charity, which is looking into that rare lung disease which she very tragically died of. She would have been proud today to see her sons and husband ringing the bell 5 minutes before the start of play, and the way that the crowd responded as well, with all the people dressed in red around the ground in their different ways. I thought it was a fantastic event, and hopefully it will lead to a very strong and flourishing charity.
Absolutely, and a really interesting day's cricket as well. Not flawless, not by any means, but a really interesting day's cricket, which sets the match up. If the weather semi-behaves itself, it's not going to behave itself entirely in the next few days, but if it gives us enough play to get an outright result in the game, still possible.
Yeah, absolutely right. So we're looking forward to tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you this time tomorrow night. Oh, and by the way, you can see how Sasha's painting is developing if you go to my Twitter feed at The Analyst.
Podcast Network.